You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
Hand me the lock.
And now back in making his record 21st appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, his former Pro Bowl quarterback and TNT guest Hall of Famer Jim Everett. Let me remind you a little bit about Jim's background. He is from Emporia, Kansas, which is just between Wichita and Topeka, a little southwest of Kansas City. He led El Dorado High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico to the state championship in 1980, playing both quarterback and safety. Played his college ball at Purdue, where he is the only quarterback in Purdue history to lead them to wins over Michigan, Notre Dame, and Ohio State all in the same season. 1985, he led the NCAA in total offense. His senior year, he was awarded the Big Ten Medal of Honor in recognition of his athletic and academic achievements. He was a first-round draft pick, the number 3 overall selection by the Houston Oilers in 1986. Shortly thereafter, traded to the Rams, and he played in the league from 86 to 97 for the Rams, Saints, and Chargers. Over the course of his career, he threw for nearly 35,000 yards and 203 touchdowns. In 1999, he was inducted into the Purdue Athletics Hall of Fame. 2007, inducted into the Peach Bowl Hall of Fame. And in 2015, most importantly, inducted into our Thursday Night Tailgate Guest Hall of Fame. And we are grateful he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jim, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Well, Chris and Bob, it's always a pleasure to be here. This is one of my favorite songs of all time, and I wanted you to know that when Vincent Glynn gets his robots ready, mine are going to kick his butt.
Rock him, talk him.
Yeah, Vincent's going to get his NFL player. I was listening in on him, and you're right, he's a straight shooter. But I'm telling you what, he's not going to be able to program robots like we can out here. There's no way.
No doubt. So, Jimmy, you've got a dream scenario going on in the NFC Championship game with both of your former teams in there. So, want to get your thoughts. How do, break it down for us. How do you see the game playing out on Sunday?
Oh, I'll tell you, this is a dream come true. You know, as you said, I did have a chance to play 8 years with the Rams and 3 years with the Saints, and a year with the Chargers, and there we were rooting for them too for a bit, but they just couldn't pull it out up in New England. We knew that was going to be a tough task. Anyways, but the NFC Championship is awesome. I think that the loss of the defensive tackle for the New Orleans will hurt them because the Rams are in run mode right now. And you saw Gurley and CJ Anderson really start, you know, picking their pace up, and they've gone to the running game since the playoffs started. So, you know, I see that happening. I think that, you know, having the lead back at corner, he didn't play the first round. And they picked on Marcus Peters. Now they have Talib back. And so I think that's going to be an asset for the Rams. But I do know playing down there in the New Orleans Saints, down there in Louisiana, in that dome, is very, very difficult. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that the Rams do by audibling out. And I'm just wondering if the people of New Orleans don't cancel some of that stuff out, or at least make it, you know, tough to hear that they won't be able to adjust on the fly as much as they have at least here in the home game. So I see a tight battle. I see an offensive battle. I see Drew Brees. I love his game. I see Kamara. I love that part of the game. I'm going to be rooting for both offenses, guys. I mean, what can I do? This is a great offensive show, so I'm going to root for both offenses.
And to that end, Jim, how big of a lift has C.J. Anderson been? A guy that we've been talking about this throughout the show, a guy who is sort of, you know, left on the side of the road by the Panthers, you know, didn't even use him really for the time he was there. And then all of a sudden he gets scooped up by the Rams, and the guy's averaging 141 yards rushing a game. That's got to be huge for that offense.
Well, it is huge. I think that, first of all, it speaks to two different things. One, the ability of never give up. You know, I think that no matter what happens in life, even when someone, you know, wants to dump you here or there, it's just going to open up another door for you. So I think number one, you know, human nature, don't give up. And he didn't. And the other part it speaks to is the quality of the offensive line that the Rams are producing, and the talent level, and what their, you know, their playoff grades have been unbelievable between Whitworth and Havasey and all the guys up front that are for the defensive line facing the Rams. I would be worried too, because Saffold's playing good. They're, you know, I just think it's a very solid unit that someone of very, very good talent like CJ, who was rejected somewhere else, would come back and average over 100 and, you know, some odd yards per game. Kudos to CJ. Kudos to offensive line and knowing what we got. But one of the key things I think being missed is the reason why he's so valuable for the Rams is that he picked up the system. There's some backups that could have played for the Rams, but they wouldn't have been as good of pass protectors as CJ is. And so CJ understands the offense. He picks it up. He's a veteran. And I don't think they trust the younger guys to be able to pick up some of those blitzes. And trust me, when you hit playoff football, the blitzes are going to come from every different angle, stuff you haven't seen before. And CJ is cagey enough to pick that stuff up. And that was, they wanted to keep Goff safe. And so they went with CJ. So it made a bunch of sense, both in the running game and on, you know, the mental part of the passing game.
And Jim, on the opposite side of the ball, what are you seeing from the Rams defense? Because they went into last week's game, they were 23rd ranked against the run during the regular season. But boy, they sure did shut down Ezekiel Elliott. What are you seeing from them? What's changed? What's improved? Is it just Aqib Talib and everything else sort of fell into place, or what made the difference, do you think?
No, I think there was a structural change with the defensive line. I think before, you know, at least for some of the early games, it was, let's get upfield, let's wreak havoc, let's, you know, jump around. There was times Aaron Donald was jumping out of his gap to get through and, you know, to be able to make those plays up the field so darn quickly. But when you jump out of your gap, when a 300-pound man is pushing you, sometimes you'll leave a wide gaping hole for a guy like Zeke Elliott. So they could not afford. And so with Sue and with Aaron Donald, you saw them both kind of two-gapping before. It's limited some of the pass rush, but they said, you know what? Let Dak beat us. We'll cover him up. Let Dak beat us. We're not going to let Zeke beat us. So that was the core difference. You saw the up front a little bit slower, making sure they recognized what the play was before they went streaking upfield. And so it was discipline, it was responsibility, and it was a structural change from Wade Phillips. And he knew that Zeke could beat him more than Dak, and that's what they focused on.
Bob, questions for Jim?
It's great to have you back, Jim. Every time I speak with you, it's 10 degrees here in New England, and I know wherever you are, you're probably in shorts and drinking a cold beverage and et cetera, but more power to you. You're the smarter of the two of us, so...
Oh, I tell you, it's not. We've actually got some rain coming over here. First couple of days, I've had to wear pants, for God's sakes, you know? I mean, I do wear shorts the whole time. Or we had to suffer through, you know, we had to get our boats out and paddle a little bit. But, you know, they'll probably hear about L.A. sliding off into the ocean here pretty soon. But other than that, we're holding down the fort. But, you know, our palm trees are getting watered a little better, so we're all good.
All right. Thanks for that. And more about Jared Goff. Jim, I mean, he improved on his stats of 2017, which was an incredible year. A few more interceptions, but he did throw 100 more passes. I mean, from what you've seen of him and critiquing his performance this year, Jim, what can he get better at? He's at a very high level right now.
Well, I think one of the key things in the media, you don't see the Wentz Goff comparisons anymore. I mean, at the while back, they're saying, hey, I would have drafted Wentz. I would have done this. I would have done that. I would have done that. You know, all these different things, and now all of a sudden Wentz has gone through some injuries, you know, Foles is coming into play, and then all of a sudden Goff has really started to peak. So it's amazing when the windows, you know, open and close. And Jared Goff, I've always liked it. He's very cerebral. He's wiry. He's dry-witted. He's everything you want as a type of leader, especially for a team like Sean McVay, a young coach who's really motivated, and he knows when to back out. He doesn't have to be, in everyone's face, like say, someone like Dan Marino or something like that. His ego's in check. And it fits. And he's like a sponge when it comes to stuff. So the things that he's picking up, but his sense of humor is hilarious. Wait till the national media get to know Jared Goff a little bit more after his successes. They're going to eat him up. They're going to just absolutely eat him up because he's a fun, fun guy. I don't know if you guys watched, but when Cal had, they had a room full of people when he was drafted number one. I don't know if you noticed, but everyone in that room went crazy when Jared Goff was picked number one because they love the kid and he's lovable. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an ex-Ram quarterback. I'm saying it because I'm a fan of quarterbacks and the kid's a likable guy. And I can't wait for everyone to get a chance to meet him.
Jim, you mentioned the 3 years you spent in New Orleans. Talk a little bit more about what it was like playing in the Superdome and the living experience, living in New Orleans, the whole Mardi Gras mentality, what it was like in your memories there.
Well, going to New Orleans was a little different from California. I mean, that was a big jump. It was almost like a time warp a little bit. I mean, the people are so down to earth in New Orleans. And it was, at the time, they were going through a streak of not winning a lot. And I think it wasn't until, you know, we got there, we won half our games. Drew Brees gets there and he ends up winning the Super Bowl. You know, wherever I go, Drew Brees goes. So maybe he'll be like on this show like 22 times here coming up, right? He'll probably be your co-host, Chris. I mean, Jesus, watch out, Bob. Drew Brees is coming.
I'll step aside.
Hey, he's a quality gentleman. I'll tell you what, he's done so much for that New Orleans place. But the people of New Orleans rally around themselves. They love the team. There's so much culture and history and the way they just handle. Once you go there, you feel like a home. They take you in. I'll never forget that, especially after a chance when I was being traded from a place that, you know, didn't want me anymore. And I didn't think that, seriously, I was the major part of the problem. It was like we didn't have a lot of talent in Los Angeles, but it was nice to go and have a chance to play with guys of good quality, like Dombrowski, who was a great guard, and Willie Rolfe, who's a Hall of Famer, and Quinn Early, and all those different guys, and have a chance to win ball games again. That was the biggest thing. But the people there just took us in. I remember one time on a Halloween going out, and I'm wearing a mask, and I'm doing all these different things. And the next I get to a PA announcer, and I'm totally undercover, like Jim Everett, whatever, whatever. I'm like, how the hell did they know this? Anyways, they're just fun people. They love life. They love their parties. They love their entertainment, and they love their Saints. Who dat?
Jim, I want to get your thoughts on Pat Mahomes, a young quarterback, gets his first opportunity to play this year and is just really setting the league on fire. What do you think has made him so successful this year?
Boy, I tell you what, he's got an absolute gun on his shoulder, but his mind, Andy Reid is doing so many good things with him. I think of all the four teams left in the playoffs, he's the most ad hoc of all of the guys playing. I mean, he can turn a situation that looks like it's a failure into a success, either by just buying a little bit more time, a little bit more Brett Favre than maybe the rest of the quarterbacks out there. I think Drew probably, Drew and Brady are the most accurate guys. I think that Mahomes has this air about him that, talking about window, is this his window? I mean, he's MVP of the league. He makes throws that other guys don't. He makes no-look throws. I mean, who does that? He makes left-handed throws, right-handed throws. He's fun as heck to watch, and he's with the right guy, with Andy Reid. How the Philadelphia Eagles ever got rid of Andy Reid is beyond me. But anyways, that's the progression of life and things go. But I just like to, be an old Kansas guy myself. I was a Lenny Dawson fan. I really like to see the Chiefs. And you know what? I'm rooting for him.
And Jim, do you think he was helped by sitting a year behind Alex Smith, or do you think a rookie sitting behind a veteran for a year is overrated?
Hey, the situation is what it is. I think he had a good guy to watch. He had a good guy to be able to see what to do and not do, and it fit him just perfect. I mean, which guy comes in for his first year starting throwing 50 touchdowns? No one. So I don't think he does that his rookie year, and who knows what happens. So I think he learned from, he was in a situation, he had the opportunity to learn. I think could he have started his first year? Probably, but I don't think you would see that type of performance. But who knows? Maybe we all help, maybe that situation held him back because the kid has talent. It'll be interesting to see how he plays when the pressure, comes on even more, because the Pats are going to put extreme amount of pressure on him. And they, defensive wise, of anybody in the league, Belichick is going to try to ring his bell and get into, his mental space. It'll be an interesting battle.
And Jim, you said this a moment ago, but is Mahomes hands down the MVP this year?
I think so. I mean, tell me who else is going to be the MVP. I mean, this kid comes in throwing 50 touchdowns, doing what he's doing. In my book, he's MVP. And I don't know, where it stands with everybody else, but there's no doubt in my mind he's MVP.
Bob, one more for Jim before we let him go.
Yeah, Jim, and of course I got to mention Brady. I mean, you left the game 34, 35 years old. This guy's at 41, still going strong. Try to put yourself in his head, Jim. I mean, what motivates him? Another Super Bowl? The fact that he still feels well? All of the above? I mean, I don't know what's left for this guy to accomplish. His mind has got to be somewhere else as far as competitiveness.
I think Tom Brady's on a different level. I mean, I think you have at times when you have peaks and valleys, but man, he's been at the peak for a damn long time. I mean, I remember him coming out of his rookie year, and he was playing with my oldest kids, and he's such a good person. And all the different stuff that Tom Brady gets this, and he plays for the Cheaters that, and I'll tell you what, they've got an organization that's committed to winning. And if someone wants to hate him, go for it. But you know what? I kind of like winning, and I admire it. Being with the same head coach, being with an organization, guys come in and out, and year in, year out, they're good. I guess everyone can hate him, but I'll tell you what, I respect him. I don't think, you know, if we ever see that again in our lifetime, what he and Belichick are putting together, I mean, maybe we'll call them Cheaters too, but, you know, I think that the whole ball thing, the inflated ball thing is, I know guys mess around with the balls, and they used to do it with our time, and, you know, we use our own set of balls, and if they needed to do that, great, but I don't think that's big a deal, in my opinion. I think that you're playing football, you line up against the other guy, and if they're beating your pants off, they beat you. If they don't, they don't. I mean, that's the game. Anything else, I think it's just an excuse.
Jim, I know you're going to be here in town in Atlanta for an NFL alumni event during the Super Bowl week. Let our listeners know how they can come out and see you.
Hey, I'm going to be down in Atlanta at the Super Bowl at the Alumni Association, and you know, I know exactly the locations. I don't have that down, but we'll be doing stuff on Saturday and Sunday before the game. And come on down; it'll be advertised and everything. But the Alumni does a good thing for a bunch of older guys that played this game and deserve a little, you know, a little token of appreciation. And anyways, we're going to be Lawrence Taylor and Bart Oates and a bunch of guys down there having a you know, heckling it up. And I know you're from Atlanta, Chris. Hopefully I have a chance to run into you. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, same here, Jimmy. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your time tonight. Always great getting to spend some time with you. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon. But in between now and then, all the best to you and your family, Jim.
Enjoy the games.
Chris, Bob, thank you very much. I think this has been one of the most exciting seasons I've seen. In fact, that I get to root for a couple of teams that I know that are close and dear to my heart, make me more special. And you know, there's been a lot of hard work going into all these seasons for all these teams, but, you know, it's really fun to see, and especially for the city of Los Angeles to have a chance to, you know, get football back here where people were saying we couldn't even support a team, and we supported two teams that were pretty darn good in the playoffs. And, you know, hopefully, we'll get to maybe bring a trophy home here someday soon. But we'll see how that works this weekend, guys. Always a pleasure being on.
I appreciate you, Jim. Take care. We'll catch up soon.
See you guys.
That is former Rams, Saints, and Chargers Pro Bowl quarterback Jim Everett. And Bob, kudos to Jim, right? I mean, he's got both of his former teams right there in the NFC Championship game. And to his point, it does seem like wherever Jim goes, Drew Brees isn't far behind. Happened at Purdue, happened in San Diego, happened in New Orleans. So, you know, hey, if you got a following act that's Drew Brees, hey, that ain't bad.
I just love the way he made it sound, Chris. I'm just rooting for both offenses. What a way. That's a great way to sit back and watch a game, right? Come on, score touchdowns. Come on, score. Doesn't care about defense. And I guess that's right. The way an ex-quarterback has to look at it, right? And great. It's always great to hear from James.
When Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our Thursday night tailgate spotlight on the positive. Hear two more great stories about guys out there doing great things in their communities. We'll be right back on the other side of this real quick station break.